Our first reading today is John chapter 6, verses 25 to 40. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. But as I told you, you have seen me and you do not believe. All those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through to 21 on page 1002. Galatians 2, verse 15. "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live in faith, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Annalise. If you could have, turn this on. If you could just keep Galatians open in front of you, that would be a great help. And I'll get the clicker, Jackson, if I can, for the slides. Terrific, that's good. I do feel for those eastern states going back into lockdown again. Friends of mine, I think it's the fourth in Melbourne. Some wag put on Facebook, you know, if you have four lockdowns, you should get the fifth one free. But, like, lockdowns and things, like, they cause us to do strange things. I haven't seen if this one has resulted in a run on toilet paper again. But other ones did, and not just the first, the second, the third, panic shopping. Insecurity does that. It sort of causes strange things to us, insecurity. I was thinking about this a bit more. What is it that makes me, you know, I go out with some friends or something and end up saying something or doing something that I later think, oh, why did I do that? Insecurity. I wanted to be part of them. Or the worker, insecure in their work. Why is it they work so many hours overtime? Not because they have to, but because they sort of do it. Well, so that because I want to keep my job, I'm insecure here. Or even the spouse who can get hypersensitive about when the other spouse spends time with friends. What's happening there? Why the hypersensitive insecurity? Does he love me? Does she love me? Insecurity can do funny things to us. I take it you're familiar with insecurity in some way. Do you know, it even can afflict the Christian. Someone who says, God, all these things are going wrong in my life. I must have done something bad in God's eyes. I must have displeased him. There's the insecure Christian. In this series, Union with Christ, we're exploring how closely related we are to God. Today, what we're going to see is God has us so closely related that we join in with Jesus Christ in his work to save. And the implications of that are massive. I just want to draw out one implication. Joining in with Jesus means secure, securely saved. That's where we're headed today. I want to spend most of our time on the union with Christ, three steps to sort of work through. What does this mean that we join in with Jesus? We'll look to Galatians 2, but then that last step we'll get to at the end briefly. Joining in with Jesus means securely saved. I've got an outline in our news sheet, and we've also got the same in these slides. There we go. Perfect. So last week we had the sort of red circle there. Being in union with Christ, this phrase that comes up in the Bible, means that we're joined in with him, closely loved, not at a distance from God. Today, the yellow circle there, union with Christ means joining in with Jesus. And so Galatians 2, if you've got it there, cast your eyes there. Oh, I should just say, last week, quick recap, this idea, union with Christ, we get it in word pictures. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So the idea is that you're engrafted into him, like some organic, close union. The same idea, union, is expressed in the Bible when it talks about Christians, a term you use. Are you a follower of Jesus? You are. Are you a believer in him? Yes, you are. But the term the Bible uses most about you, if you're a Christian, is that you're in Christ. That's the phrase used, in him. And we get all those little joining words. We're in him, we're saved by him, we're with him. And Galatians 2 has that. I've highlighted all the little joining words, prepositions they're called, that express our connection. And what Paul says here, he says as the representative Christian. What he says here, you can say if you're in Christ. For that reason, actually, it's a good verse to memorise. I don't know, what was the last verse you memorised? Mate, put this one on the list. Memorise this one. Maybe can I ask you to read this verse out aloud with me, so helpful it is. We're going to work through this one verse this morning. So together let's read it. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What he says here is true of every believer. It's stunning. If you take this to heart, it will have you anchored to Christ. It'll change you from the inside out, I believe. Now, I've benefited a lot from a fellow called Sinclair Ferguson, who's taught a lot about union with Christ. And he says this verse captures union with Christ in a nutshell. It shows what happens to us when we're in Christ. It shows what happens for us as we're in him. And I just find his summary of Galatians 2 so clear and helpful that I'm mostly just going to regurgitate what he's already said. It was so helpful. Four lines. I'm going to step through these four lines of Galatians 20. But I'm going to do it in logical sequence, which means in roughly reverse order. So what is true of you who are in Christ? Or if you're not yet in Christ, if you're not a believer and you're here today, welcome, it's great to have you here. What could be true of you if you were to be found in Christ? Galatians 2 answers for us. The beginning with the last line first. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. True of you. Ephesians 5 said the same. Christ, the bridegroom, loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave himself up to death on a cross for her sins. Same point here. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And the emphasis here is on the greatness of his status. He's the Son of God, the very Son of God, the only Son of God. And the emphasis is on his personal love for you. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Love here, not just a feeling. We sometimes think, sort of shrink love down to be just feelings. No, no, no. Love here is in action. No, not just feelings. Feelings go up and down. And so we sometimes think, my love for people must go up and down. But no, notice here, the love described is referring to Jesus' costly death on the cross once for all. his act of unchanging love for you. Does he love me? The cross shows he does. No matter what I feel, no matter what happens to me at work on Tuesday, no matter what they say about me, he loves me. What is true of everyone in Christ is the Son of God loved me. He gave himself for me. Well, that's first. Second, the life I now live, I live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith and not by sight. And the context of Galatians 2 shows the discussion about the Old Testament law, which is, if we're going to go back and live according to the law, that way is a way of condemnation. It shows us up. It shows us all up. No one loves God. No one loves his neighbour as himself. We all deserve condemnation. But we're not going back to the law, Paul says, Galatians 2, verse 19. Because the Son of God has loved me and given himself for me. Something's happened in the middle of history that's changed everything. He's come and bore the condemnation in our place. He's, to his loving action, he gives this loving promise, the promise of forgiveness of sins, a standing before God forever. Justification. And knowing his love and hearing this promise, well, I entrust my life to him. Gladly, willingly, daily. That's what faith is. I entrust my whole life to him. I entrust my future to him. I entrust the details of my day to him. I live by, you live by, faith in the Son of God. Faith is my response. Faith is also God's gift enabling me to trust him. And it's by faith that we come into union with Christ. That's what we were outside Christ. How does one become joined to Christ? By faith. Hearing, trusting, entrusting my whole life to him. Now this union, third, means I have been crucified with Christ and yet I live. It's there in 2 verse 20. I find this line takes some thinking through. Notice that it says more than Christ was crucified for me. That's true. It also says more than he was crucified in history, AD 33, thereabouts. That's true. It says more than that. It says I have been, you have been crucified with Christ and yet I live. How does that work? What does that mean? We're getting detailed here. If you've fallen asleep, now's the time to wake up. This is the hardest bit. Here's the biggest. If we can get this, we'll get the whole of today's point. Three things are happening in this phrase, I have been crucified with Christ. There's a statement of fact. This has happened in history. An established reality. Not sort of some make-believe, no one's made this up. No, this happened. A decisive death for sin has occurred in history. Once for all in the Lord Jesus at the cross. Second, see that I didn't do it, but it was done for me. It's in the passive voice, if you like. I have been crucified with him. I didn't crucify myself. No, I was crucified with him. He did the work. I've come to join in with him in it. And see that this past work done for me has present significance now. I have been put to death, crucified, and yet now I live. What has happened to him then has effect in me and you now. His crucifixion outside Jerusalem, AD 33, has ongoing effect in you in Christchurch 2021. I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Union with Christ, being joined to Jesus, teaches us that what's happened to him becomes true of every believer in him. God has involved you in Christ's death. He's had you join in with Christ in his crucifixion so as to benefit from his saving work. I find this takes a bit of getting my head around. Let me try this analogy, the traveller and the plane. Like if you're travelling from Auckland to Christchurch, what's the relationship you need to have with the aeroplane in order to benefit from it? Well, you can't just, you know, sit in the departure lounge and admire the plane. Admire all you want. It won't get you anywhere. You can't go underneath the plane and, you know, explore all of its mechanical parts. Explore away as you want. It won't benefit for you as a traveller. Oh, you could even imitate the plane, making the wings and going around the departure lounge with all the noises. That won't get you from A to B. You need to be in the plane. That's the only way to benefit. Then what happens to the plane happens to you who are in it. Just so with Jesus. By all means, admire him. By all means, learn from him, imitate him. But it won't help. You must be in him. It's only as we're in him, united by faith, that we benefit from him. John Calvin says exactly this point. I'm really just telling you what he's already told me. As long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value for us. But as we're united to Christ by faith, as we're in him, we're joined in with all that he's done for us. And we can rightly say, I have been crucified with Christ. Not my work, his work, but I've been joined to him. Joined, you're in vital fellowship, vital connection with him through the Holy Spirit, joining you to Christ. And that's what this fourth line declares with such brilliance. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The old self has died. The old self living for self, the old self enslaved under sin. That old self has been crucified with Christ. Dead, gone. And now the new self comes as a gift from God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. It's right to say that Christ lives in you. Personally, we talk about our being in him, that's true. The Bible also says that he is in us. Like an interchangeable way of speaking. This is it's the language of indwelling. Remember John 14, I will make my home with them, he says. It's stunning. You could not be more closely related to the Lord Jesus and involved in all of his saving life, death, and resurrection. Changes who we are, changes our identity. We'll think about that next week. But for now, Galatians 2 just been trying to show us you are involved. God has you joined in with Christ when he saves you. And this involvement is not only in the central work of salvation, the cross. It's actually in all the other works of his life as well. Without going into them now, I've just highlighted a few. Not only have you been crucified with him, you've been buried with him. And not only buried, but then made alive, Ephesians 2. Not only made alive, raised up, seated with him in the heavenly places, if you will. And we participate in his sufferings now. We're becoming like him in his life now. Your life, Colossians says, is now hidden with Christ in God. When he appears, you will appear with him. So closely are you connected. And that verse from 2 Timothy, in the new creation, we will reign with him. Are you in Christ? If you are, God joins you in fully with him. In every part of his work. It's stunning. Here's another analogy. Maybe this will help. Like the team, the sporting analogy that I mentioned before. When the Lord Jesus, he's like the sporting team captain. And he alone plays, He alone defends against every assault. He alone triumphs over the devil, triumphs over death itself. And you who are in Christ, join in with him like bench warmers. I don't know if you've ever been in a team and had to sit on the bench. Like there's the expectation that I might get on, I might get a run here. Well, warming the bench needs to be warmed by someone, I suppose. We are like the non-contributing part of the team. So that the victory that's really only his, we come to share in too. Being in Christ is not a small thing. It's massive. But how do you receive all of this language? How do you receive this idea? If you are a skeptic, some of us are skeptical here, but like you meet a lot of skeptics as well in life. Does this sound too good to be true? I mean, you know what that's like. You get an email saying, you've just won $1 million. Click this link. You know, don't you? Do not click the link. It's too good to be true. They're bluffing you. Is that the same here? Romans 6. Have you got your Bible? Can you just go with me to Romans 6, page 970. Romans 6 addresses our skepticism in a really helpful way. I won't spend a lot of time here. Romans 6 talks about what we've already seen. So chapter 6, verse 5, we've been united with him in a death like his. So also then we will be united in his resurrection. Actually, I think I've got this here. But it's verse 11 that I want you to look for. To those of us asking, is all of this stuff, what he's saying, real? Is this legit? Paul says in verse 11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Our sin here being the slave master idea. We've died to sin. We now live for God. It's a great, great thing. But just look at the first words there, count yourselves. In other words, consider yourself this way. The Apostle Paul gets that it doesn't follow naturally, logically, that we've been joined in with Jesus in this way. But God counts us like that. So we ought to count ourselves as God counts us. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. He urges us to make this move in our minds. Have you made this move? Are you in Christ? To say yes to that is to be dead to sin, alive to God. And if you're in Christ, then you're one who's been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ, seated with Christ, one day returning with Christ and being made like him perfectly. Christ has done it all. God has joined you in with him. Here's our idea. Union with Christ, joined to Jesus, means that we come to join in every part of Christ's life, death and resurrection, saving work. Now, let's think, what difference does this make? I want to suggest to you the difference this makes is profound. We could go in any number of directions. I want to pick one direction this morning under that one heading, secure. In the midst of an anxious and insecure world, what we've seen this morning is vital medicine that God gives. Gives it to you, and he gives it to you to give to others. And he gives it in order to secure you. You are in a secure relationship with God. There's no rejection from God ever because of sin. There's only love from God. You're in Christ who loved you and gave himself for you. Like that secure relationship is what we heard in John chapter 6 when Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I'll never drive away. He keeps you. God has joined you to Jesus and he keeps you securely. I am his and he is mine. Christ is mine forevermore. You're in a secure relationship and that means you're securely saved. You're securely saved because it doesn't depend on your work. Do you know how sometimes we get this sort of thinking like, gee, I've been pretty unfaithful today. I must be out of relationship with God. Or gee, I've had a great day aren't I, you know, in God's good books? Yeah, your relationship doesn't change whether you've had a bad day or a good day. If you're in Christ, you're securely saved. Your relationship with God does not go up and down depending on your performance. The insecure person feels that keenly. Gosh, I haven't done enough. The proud person feels that also. Isn't God lucky to have me? No, no. Neither the insecure... No, this union with Christ, this idea secures you because you're joined to Christ and the work done to save you is all his. You just get to benefit from it up close and personal. And we could push that even further and say, you're secure even through your failures. Christ's death that you've been joined to works backwards in the past and works forwards for your future failures. In him you've been crucified. Your sins have been paid. There's no condemnation for you. There's nothing that can separate you from his love. Justified means secured forever. That includes doubts, actually. You're secure even through wavering faith. Has this thought ever occurred to you? Gosh, there's a lot of stuff about God I don't understand. And I've heard from my non-Christian friend over here, and gee, I'm starting to wonder about God. Does that now mean that I've somehow slipped out of relationship with God? Christians can feel like that's the case. It's not. Union with Christ means you're secure, even through your wavering questions and faith. Because what counts is not the strength of your believing, but the strength of the one in whom you believe. Is he able to save you? He has saved you. The cross shows he's loved you. You are secure through wavering faith. Last thing, you're secure in his love. Hardship makes us doubt his love. Trials make us doubt God's love. Rejection from others make us doubt God's love. Hatred from others make us doubt God's love. Romans 8 declares, we've already had it a few times this morning, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. What's the next line? In Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 39. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We're secured to him, we're secured by him, we're secured in him, we're secured as his people. In Christ, we're securely saved. The more you grasp your union with Christ, the more secure you'll be amidst all the trials and difficulties that come in life. Union with Christ is vital medicine for Christians living in an anxious world, but it's also vital medicine for people who are insecure and anxious and wanting to find something solid to stand on. Wanting to find the rock, Jesus Christ. It's him that we need to be found in. Paul says in Philippians, I want to know Christ and be found in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you that as an act of your kindness, you include us in Christ. We join in with his saving work. Not that we contribute, but we get to benefit. Thank you, Lord, that you have dealt with our sins in him. I've been crucified and yet we live. Thank you, Father, that this secures us amidst all the troubles that we go through. Thank you that nothing can separate us from the love that we experience in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.